Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 117, part 2, Comfort Comes from Constancy. Today is Sunday, October 18th, 2009. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from spirited North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. And you know, Pastor Paul's mission is the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota, and we're located in Disciples Ministries, historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. So if you need food and you live in Minnesota and you are living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older, which means you're a baby boomer, or you're disabled with proof, maybe you're a veteran, call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. and register your household for monthly groceries. Be sure to do that. We have plenty of food and we'd like to help you out. You can also visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org, where you can make a tax-deductible donation to support our Pastor Paul's operation. So be sure to help us out online. You can also join our online community, and up at the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to Pastor Paul's blog, Flickr, the podcast where you can subscribe to weekly podcasts, Life Vantage, supplements, YouTube, you could watch some of our videos, and Twitter. Be sure to join me, Janine Sherry, on Twitter, where you will see a Twitter stream on Thursdays while I'm recording Pastor Paul's message. So be sure to check us out and join me on Twitter. When you go to Pastor Paul's blog, you're going to be able to leave a comment, ask a question, make a suggestion, or give a testimony. So be sure to go to Pastor Paul's blog, and you'll also see Pastor Paul's show notes there to the podcasts. In that those show notes, you're going to find interactive links to the scriptures within Pastor Paul's podcast. So be sure to go to the blog and link to the scriptures after you listen to his message. You can also email me at janine@pastorpaul.org. And as you know, Pastor Paul's podcast is twice weekly. On Friday is part one, Sunday is part two. So be sure to listen to both parts. It's the same episode. Glad to be back. Maggie is my computer. I always name my computers. I don't know. It's just one of those quirks I have. Anyways, Maggie is back. Maggie and I are back. We've been gone for 2 weeks. Maggie had a video card. Literally, she went blind, and that was it. And so now she's seeing again. I can see her. She can see me. We've got the video card. And also, Dr. Greg at the Digital Garage, where I took Maggie, he was able to help Maggie to be able to kind of clear her head out a little bit. Major files, major podcast files, 115 episodes and going strong. So Maggie needed room. So anyways, I want to let you know the names of the messages that you're going to be able to hear on Pastor Paul's podcast this month. Two loves, Eros and Agape. Let us look upon the faithful. Comfort comes from constancy and making the second rate into the first rate. As always, Pastor Paul's messages are incredible. You will learn so much, get so free, and just really be blessed by his messages. So thank you for joining me. Be sure to check us out online at www.pastorpaul.org. If you need groceries, be sure to call us, 612-521-4665. Register your household for groceries. Have a wonderful month of October in Minnesota. It's beautiful. We're looking forward to a beautiful Indian summer where we're out in the yard getting the garden cleaned up and ready to hunker down for winter, which is coming on. So God bless you. Have a great month of October. God bless you.
Ken, is Ken in here? Oh, Ken is persevering here. He came in from Florida. Now, I'm not saying everybody should be involved in this mission. I'm just using this as an example, especially for radio people. You know you're supposed to be coming down, but I'm talking about Ken right now, so I'll just leave you sitting here for a minute. Well, that's one thing you don't have to worry about here. You never get a paycheck here. Never happen, Ken. Just think, you'll never have to wait for one and say, "Where's my paycheck? I didn't get it yet. I didn't get enough. They took too much taxes out." You never have to worry about that here. But he's persevering. And because he's persevering, you know what's happening? He's getting comfort. You ever have the first day on the job and you think, and you take a deep breath. Take a deep breath. Say, "I can do it, I can do it, I can do it, I can do it." And someone says, "Hey, yeah, who, me?" Huh? But you know, as you persevere, you get comfort. And you keep on, and you keep on, and you keep believing, and after 2 weeks, you got it down. And you see somebody else come in, you say, "Oh, it's nothing to it. It's old hat. How long have you been here? 2 weeks." Huh? See, persevering. And you know what you got out of it? Comfort. Now you go into your job, you know exactly what you're doing, you know what God expects out of you, and you got comfort. My dad used to have that. He had a lot of comfort. He knew in the morning he was going to get up at 4:30, and at 4:45 he was going to rap on my head, "Time to go to work." I didn't have comfort. I said my dad did. I wanted to lay up in that bed. But I got so I had comfort, not for the first half hour, but after I got down there and I started working and getting the cups out and opening the door up, getting the coffee ready and getting the rolls out, and the roll man would come, and there was a certain comfort in the truck. I noticed when the truck would drive up and the roll truck would come up. And Joe McGurk would get out with his rolls, you know. He'd bring them in, and we'd pay him and have a little conversation with him. And some people called old hat, but there was comfort in it. And then a customer would come in. Give me one of them over there. Yeah, that's that one there. And you give them their coffee, and you get their money. There's comfort in that. And you put it in the till. And another customer comes in. See, and if you got the right spirit about you, you have a comfort in it. See, work is your anchor. And without that, you cannot be comfortable. How many heard that? Ooh. See, a person who gets a lot of real support and comfort from his faith. Oh, I love them kind of people. Is a man who will not backslide. Someone, and you see they're getting a lot of comfort out of their work, and they're enjoying their work. They're not going to backslide. They call them dependable people. You know something I've noticed also? I believe this is the case with those who decline. They first of all lose their comfort and joy of walking with God. You've seen people, they're so happy with the Lord, and they come on so strong and they're so happy in the Lord. Oh, man, I am so happy in the Lord. I just got peace that passes all understanding. And I feel so comfort, the comfort I have. And I'm doing, I'm working over here and I'm just enjoying it so much. And when they start to lose that, you can tell it right away. You know why? They lose their comfort. Now they're not, their whole body shows it. They lose their comfort. They're just kind of rigid. They lose their comfort. It's getting kind of quiet in here. They lose their brightness. They lose their delight they once had in the things of God. Next, they drop out of service. And they drop off doing one thing at a time. They don't do this. No, I'm too busy for that. And they don't do this. And they don't do that. And pretty soon, seat 13A is empty. They lost their comfort. They lost their delight in the Lord. They stopped working for God. You don't see them in church. You don't see them at Bible studies. And you know why it happens? It happens because they forgot what comfort and joy and peace that they could have in following Jesus. They have a lapse of memory. And if you're not happy in the Lord, don't rest until you are. Don't rest until you're happy in the Lord. I don't think it's any small thing or any small evil, I should say, to get out of the sunlight of God's will, God's countenance. And I don't believe a child would say like this. I was thinking today, how do we explain something like this? Let's say that the child's father is angry with him and he says, "Oh, that's okay, he won't kill me." No, I know from my own life that it's only the proportion as he enjoys his father's love will he be. I mean, it'll be painful if he loses one degree of it. I remember I used to want to please my dad so much and get 100% of his love. Well, he would go out, I'd be about 12 years old, 11 years old this time. He said, "You're in charge." So I had these waitresses and so on like that. And I says, "Okay." So I says, "Now we got to shine all these windows, and Dad wants the back bar done, and he wants this mirror all shined, and he wants these coffee pots all done, and there should be no dirt anywhere," because he was a nitpicker, you know. Wanted everything neat, so I would just work and work and work and work. What I was working for? 100% of his love. You know something? If he came in and gave me 98% of his love, there was something missing. Did it ever happen to you? Did you ever have a real good friend and you were getting like 100% from him? "Oh, I'm so glad to see you." And then the next time they see you, "Oh, I'm so glad to see you." You want 100% of it. How many are hearing this? You want 100% of it. You're not satisfied with 98. You're not satisfied with the ivory plan, 99 and 44, 100% float. You want the whole thing. You want the other 0.56%. You want it all. And that's the way I am with God. I don't feel exactly right. And I say, "Well, God, I'm losing something here." You know what I mean? I still know you love me and everything because the Bible says so. But it's starting to cool down. I'm losing my comfort. God, what do I do? How do I get back into the sunlight of your will? How do I do that? What have I done wrong? Show me. If there be any evil in my heart, show me that evil. You know what? That kid will cry out until he's fully restored to the love of that dad. Till he feels again those dear lips, that kiss of forgiveness that will put away all of his offenses. I remember my dad never did whip me, only one time. And that was just a slap, really. You know, nothing. But it hurt me as like it was a beating because he had never done it. Now, my mother, the windmill, you know, that didn't bother me too much. But when my dad rebuked me, oh, I'd be laying in bed. I remember my whole heart was aching. I felt so bad I let my dad down. And he had to go to, he said, "Paul, please don't make me go to the principal office." You know, he was from the old country. And going to the principal's office is like going to the president of the United States of America. You have to go to the principal office. And he was so scared to go in there, you know. Oh, this is terrible, the principal. And I was thinking to myself, oh, so what? You know, but I was looking at him, and I thought, oh. And you could see he was so wounded, you know. And I was laying in bed there, and I thought, oh. My dad wasn't talking to me, and he went in another room, and I felt, and I went to bed, and I felt, oh, God. Oh, I feel so terrible. But then my dad came in, and when he came into the room and gave me that kiss and that hug, it was a kiss of forgiveness, and it restored me. You know what I mean? It's the same way when God does stuff like that. And you know what? You can't be satisfied until you get the kiss of God's forgiveness. And you know what? He'll give it to you freely. All you got to do is ask. If man is to forgive 70 times 7, how much more do you think your Father will forgive? All you got to do is ask. And you'll feel the lips of forgiveness, and you'll put away all of those offenses. And so, people, you must believe that you lack of your comfort. And that the lack of your comfort is a very evil thing. If you don't have any comfort in what you're doing, it's an evil thing. If you don't have 100% comfort with God, I don't care if you got into something, go get that comfort from God, that forgiveness from God to be restored. Which may lead you to loss of industry. Did you ever lose your comfort? You see people lose their comfort. They're not good workers. Did you know that? You've had workers. And they lose their comfort, and you say, oh, what'd you say? And they kind of lose their train of thought and everything, you know. You know what I mean? And they start to lose their industry. And they start to lose their power. And they start to lose their excitement. They lose their, let's say, perseverance in the cause of the Lord. Because if your heart be not comforted of God, you are not likely to be established in every good word, the Bible says, and work. Without the comfort, there is no establishing you in every good word and every good work. You can't be established. You cannot talk to somebody that's lost their comfort. You cannot establish them until they have comfort with God. Now, you that aren't born again, of course, you'll have no comfort. You that are born again and you're outside of the will of God, you've lost your comfort, and you'll have no peace, and you'll have no rest, and you won't be productive, and you'll lose your industry, and you'll lose your excitement until you get that kiss of forgiveness. But now let's turn it around to the other way. I think that these two things that I've mentioned here are put together because establishment in the Word and work is so very necessary for your comfort. Yeah. I said that we must be comforted that we might be constant in the service of God, but now let me switch it around. We must be constant in the service of God that we may be comforted. Now, I had a gal come in here today, Harriet. And every day she's coming in at noon and she says, okay, you know how Harriet is. I got half hour, I'm going to get the dishes and I'm going to clean the tables and I'm going to do this and I'm, ooh, ooh. You know, Harriet. And she goes about this little thing. That's exactly how she goes. And she picks up all the dishes, and she goes over and she wipes the table, and she says, oh, I feel so good when I come down here. I says, you know why you feel so good? You are established. Every half hour of every day, you come down here and pick up these dishes, and you wipe the table, and you're constant in it. And your consistency in doing good is paying off, and it's bringing you comfort. And until we're consistent in our walk, until we're consistent in the Word, until we're consistent in what we're doing and actually working it out, we'll have no comfort. And with no comfort, you can't be established. And without an establishment, you'll have no joy. And you have no peace, and you can't be comforted. One follows the other. Be consistent. Abounding. Oh, are you hearing this? God doesn't give blessings to idlers. Do you want to bless your kid if he's just laying there? How would you like to bless a kid? One kid is working around, he's mowing the grass. Back in the garden, picking the weeds, back in the garden, picking the weeds. And then you got one kid that's laying there. You mind mowing someplace else? Huh? Do you want to bless that kid when you look out the window at him? No. You want to take the hose out and give him a good spraying. How many are hearing this? God cannot bless idlers. God can't do it. Did you hear that? Did you? He can't bless idlers. You know what? God has these choice secrets. Ooh. And I know what? He has these choice secrets into which he does not admit everybody. Not even all of his family. When we are diligent in his service. Now you have three sons. And you have them waiting tables and so on like that. And you got some business things that you can talk over with them because they understand. And then you got one kid over there that he could care less, you know. Do you feel like sharing anything with him about the business? He wouldn't care anyway. But the other two are industrious. Oh, Dad, look, the till is up. Whoo, good morning. Wow, $1,500 today. Do you want to share? Who do you want to share with? The ones that are diligent in service. The ones that are interested in the business. The ones that are always constant. The ones that are always persevering. The ones that are in the Word that the Father has, get them, clean them tables and wash that over here and get that mirror in shape, and I want them coffee urns clean. When I come back here, I want the floor swept and scrubbed, and I don't want no dust in the corners, and I want you to clean under the box and take that ice cream out of one of them containers that's half full and put it in the other one that's half full and throw it away, and let's clear the ice box out and clean out that filthy box over there, and I'll be back at 3 o'clock. Let's have it all done. Then you go ahead and you do all that. Then the Father comes in, he opens the icebox, and he opens up the ice cream cooler, and he looks at the floor, and he looks at it that it's mopped, and he looks at the mirror, and he looks at the windows. Well done, my good and faithful servant. And then there's the other kid laying in the booth over there reading a comic book. Laughing. Hey, Dad, look at Superman did here, huh? Who are you going to bless? Idle pants over here? I think it's true here, even in the mission. Show me a bored or depressed worker, and I'll show you somebody that's neglected their work. I get a lot of volunteers. I had one guy come in, and he was going to do peanut butter. Yuck. We want to skip this peanut butter here and want to pull it out of here in this great big 50-gallon drum, and you have to put it in containers. Ooh, yuck. You know what? He started doing it, and he started enjoying it. It wouldn't come off the spoon. And he started enjoying what he was doing. And I was watching the guy. Pretty soon he got it, so he had it down. He would curl it just right and put it on the side of there, and now he had it. Now he was getting a rhythm. The top on. Wipe off the top. Put it over here. Grab some peanut butter, put it in here. Put it there. Put the top on. Wipe it off. Put it in the box. A box full. Wow. Ooh. Put it over there. And then he grabbed another one. Ooh. Second case. Same as first, only faster. Ti-ta-ta-ta. Ti-ta-ta. Ta-ta-ta. Hoo-ta-ta. And then he's looking around, see what a great job he's doing. Ooh. Three boxes already. What's the best time here? Do-ta-ti-ta-ta-ta. Wipe off the side. Four boxes. Ooh. How's that, man? And the guy that had told me, oh, I'd love to put peanut butter in those containers. That sounds like fun. He took off and went home. He agreed and went away. You remember that Bible story? The two sons says, well, I'd be happy to go, Dad. And the one said, no way. I'm not going out and working the field. And the other one looked and said, Dad, I'll go out and do it. He didn't do it. And the guy that said, I'm not going to do it, thought on it again and did it. You know what he got out of it? Comfort. Don't you have comfort when you do something against your will and it's finished? That's why, Christians, there are so many of you listening on the radio that have no comfort. You're not doing any type of any kind of labor. Oh, work, 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 work. It's all you talk about is work. Work, 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 work. Work, work, work. Huh? Somebody better talk about work. How many heard that one? Someone has got to get a balance here. Someone has got to bring it around that God is not going to bless the idlers. But when we're diligent in His service, and all of our powers, let's say, are fully consecrated to Him, I mean fully consecrated, all the way, you know what? He'll give you a gracious reward. Not a debt, but according to the discipline, let's say, of His own house, wherein I believe He honors the faithful and chastises those who do not obey and are negligent in duty. Now, you start to neglect your work, and you get negligent in your work, you know what's going to happen? You're going to lose your comfort. Now, your job. You have this job where you make these photostats and things like that in artwork. And you're really good at it, see, and I know that. But someday you just don't feel like it, see, and so you get a little negligent in it. It doesn't turn out right, and you say, oh, it didn't turn out right, but it's all right. It'll pass, they'll never know. What happens, Corey, and I'm just using it because you're sitting here. What happens is you lose your comfort. And I know it happens to all of us. You lose your comfort and you go home and you don't feel right about yourself and you've lost your comfort. You go ahead and do this job and you didn't do it exactly right. And there was one little thing you didn't do, but you pushed a bucket over the top of it. Well, nobody's going to move that bucket because nobody works in here but me. So that dirt will be there tomorrow. But you don't feel right about it. You lose your comfort. Might as well pull that bucket out and sweep up that mess. You lose your comfort when you're not constant. If a preacher isn't constant in coming up and preaching, and God knows a lot of people want you to go. But if the preacher is not constant and doesn't persevere in what he's doing, some nitwit will probably get up and tell people the complete exact opposite. And you've wasted all that time because if you give people a choice between laying down and standing up, they'll always want to lay down. I know I do. How many are hearing this word tonight? God, I want it to get across. You're going to miss the comfort when you begin to neglect your work. Are you hearing this? I'm getting a brand new spirit in the church here. I'm so thankful for it. Personally, I don't have no time for depression. The spirit of depression sneaks up on you. Now, depression is a spirit. Understand, it's like a Casper the Ghost. Let's put it that way. And people understand that when you talk like that, you know? You're sitting there, and everything is all right. You don't have a lot of comfort because you're not doing what you're supposed to do. And you're all set for the spirit of depression. You don't know what's wrong, but you don't have comfort. And you're kind of antsy. And all of a sudden, the spirit goes, and it covers you. And you get heavier and heavier. It's called the spirit of heaviness. And heavier and heavier and heavier. And pretty soon you can barely get up. Oh, God, I'm so depressed. Oh, you're stiff all over. And you get up and you can just barely make it around. You ever been so depressed you can hardly make it around? I remember some years back I was so depressed. I was so depressed I could hardly look out the window. Oh. Oh. Oh, God. And I go lay back down on the davenport. Oh. And I had to roll out and get on one knee and get up and look out the window again. Huh? You ever got that bad? Know what happened? You got uncomfortable and you sat down in your uncomfort instead of getting comfort by persevering and going on and not complaining, and you let your face hang out and you just got all melancholy and all bloopy, and you turned on them old records and had some Coca-Cola, put your Bobby socks on, went back 30 some years and said, oh God, why didn't I take that turn instead of this turn? And the spirit of depression come on and you could barely make it around. Oh. Huh? I know I'm talking to somebody in here. I know I'm talking to somebody right there on that radio. Don't you let it happen to you. Only when we're consistent in the word and in the work will we have comfort. Only. Only, only, only. Only when we put our whole heart and our whole mind and our whole soul in it. Only while we're sitting there in our uncomfortable state, we don't wait for that spirit of heaviness to come. When we get up and we battle a thing and say, you know what, I'm sitting here trying to get comfortable, but I'm getting uncomfortable, I can't get comfortable, I have to get up and work it out. Will you get comfortable? And there's only one thing worse than an uncomfortable person, and that is too uncomfortable people. Too miserable people. Two miserable people. Mental wards is full of them walking around like that. Because somebody let them get comfortable in some kind of thing they weren't supposed to get comfortable in, and it made them to crack up, and they didn't tell them about the love and mercy and grace of God that would fully pardon and forgive them once and forever and for always, and they didn't know it, and they cracked up, or they committed suicide, or whatever. Don't have time for depression. I believe all undepressed people are carried by the Lord from one work into another. Well, we always got some kind of a caper going here. We had the liver caper, and we had the chicken caper, and we had the all these different capers. What you going to be doing now? Well, we got the corn on the cob caper coming up. We're going to have this big picnic up here on Labor Day up here at the Farview Park. Probably be about 7,500 people there. Yeah? And we'll have corn on the cob. And we'll have barbecue beef sandwiches. and we'll have potato salad, and we'll have orange drink, and we'll have icebox cute pickles. What else are we going to have? We're going to have pretzels and popcorn. And we're not going to sit down and just get comfortable not doing anything. We're going to get up. We're going to open up that beef, and we're going to put that beef in there, and we're going to put that corn in there, and we're going to go up the park. Set up the tent! Put the banners up! Put the banners up! And the people are looking out the window, they're depressed. And all the depressed people say, hey, what are you guys so happy about? And they come on over and you tell them about Jesus. And they see you working and they see you having a whole lot of fun and they say, can I help? And if they get me for their straw butts, glory to God, they'll get delivered. Put it down. They'll get delivered. Say, pick it up and get it moving, boy. Get them hamburgers faster. Oh, this is fun. Hey, you're getting them on the ground. Yeah, that's okay. Whoop, huh? Hey, it works. Glory to God. And it lines up with the Word. Thank you, Lord, for the Word that is so simple and so straight and so clear and so wonderful and so forgiving. And you know what I found out? Each work that I take on has a brand new spirit about it and a brand new strength about it. And someone says, hey, you know, right after the park, then you're going to have the Thanksgiving caper. You gotta pack some 5,000 bags. You gotta put oatmeal in them, and flour, and taters, and onions, and you gotta put meat in them, and salad dressing, and soap. I said, hey, you could make a good bag packer. You know everything goes in them things. I mean, it's gonna be so close, you're gonna be tired out. I said, no, that's a brand new spirit. That's the Thanksgiving spirit. That's a different thing. That's the Labor Day spirit. And this is the thanks for the labor that God let you do. So now we're going to thank God for it. And then after that, we're going to have, oh no, oh God, don't tell me. It's going to be the Christmas caper. Oh no. But that's what keeps me going. One thing after the other. With a brand new spirit. Don't people talk about the spirit of Thanksgiving and the spirit of Christmas? Well, the spirit of labor is a different spirit because actually they don't labor, they all take off. And that's why they're so unhappy. They should call it something else. Don't you agree? Labor Day, really? It's depressed day. But each work has a brand new strength that's taken along with it, and then these people are comforted in their hearts, the Bible says. Because they are established in every good word and good work. Now it's like you take up, here you're doing the corn, you're established there, and someone says, oh, why didn't I take that job doing that corn? Can I have your job doing the corn? I'm established. Do something else. Maybe later. And you know what happens then? It provokes people to get out of their depression and to come on in and to have the word that was worked in worked out by working it out. That makes sense? I hope so. I couldn't say it again in a million years. Okay, I'm going to close this up now. But these things, in closing here, they act and they react, let's say, upon one another. Comfort makes us work, and then the work brings us a fresh measure of comfort. You get all done with the work, and you're sitting there, and it's been a big success, and you say, wasn't that great? Wasn't it? Whew. Don't sit there too long. Better get up. You got the whole park to clean up. Trash. Bags and bags. Now, don't get tired before I even get into this. But that action causes a reaction. Say, well, okay, we got to clean this park up. You know how I did it last time? I got about 15 kids, and I says, now the first one that gets the biggest bag of garbage gets a dollar. The biggest bag of garbage. Well, you get 50 and 30 kids doing that. You clean the whole park up, it costs you $1, right? That cost me $5. Some of the kids were bigger than I was. Okay, let me just close it as quickly as I can. The first way to comfort is the forgiveness of sins. That's a comfort. I remember that. Oh, God, when I knew I was forgiven of all my sins, what a burden. When I understood the grace of God that said, I am greater than your sin nature. Whew. When I fully knew that. When I knew that, when I knew that if I was consistent in the Word and consistent in my work, I would have comfort. When I knew that, when I knew that I could be useful and I knew that I could be of service and I knew that I could have the full joy of the Holy Ghost. When I knew that some people were won for Christ by a holy confidence, And by the holy confidence that I had in God, and by the comfort it gave me, when they looked at me and they said, brother, you have been afflicted, you have been slandered, you have been misunderstood and misquoted, when discouragement one after another heap up and come upon us, and we can say, praise the Lord, what has that got to do with me following Jesus? Let's pick up the banner and let's go on. It doesn't matter. Let's go on, because if I sit here and get sort of just comfortable in this depression, a spirit of heaviness is going to just cover me over and bury me, and I don't want that. And I'm going to get up and work out the Word and work it out and don't pay any attention, and I'm going to see no man after the flesh and go on with the work. And as I go on with the work, glory to God, something happens. Oh, and Jesus put it this way, the Savior said, come on to me, all ye that are heavy, are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest. He's saying, take my yoke on you and learn of me, for I am what? Meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find what? Rest unto your souls. Oh, that's so good. Rest to your soul. Rest to your spirit. Let me go one step further here in answering this question. Glory to God. When we blend these two together, the Word and the work, the Martha and the Mary, and the Mary and the Martha, and we blend them together, and we blend the Word and we sit under the Word, and we listen to the Word, and we get up and work out the Word. Oh, something happens. Ooh, something happens. When we live above the storm and people are watching us, and there's some people that will not come to the will come to church, but they're watching. I have led people to the Lord. One person come up and says, brother, what makes you run? What is the secret to you staying alive on the north side? And I said, first of all, I've died and I've been born again. My life, the one that you see right now, is not I that live, but Christ in me, the hope of glory. And I can be afflicted or slandered or misquoted or misunderstood. Doesn't matter, not one bit, because I'm doing it for God. Not doing it for myself. I'm not doing it for anyone but for God. When I do it for God, I'm doing it for mankind. When I'm doing it for mankind, God blesses me, and I can stay above the storm, and I can forgive 70 times 7, and I can give out my coat if they take my shirt. It doesn't matter to me anymore. I can go the second mile. I have that. The patience of a great sufferer, and surely you're seeing that right now. And I've got a question to ask you. Do you know Jesus as your personal Savior? No, I don't. Would you like to know Him? Yes, on the basis of what I've seen you do in the way of work, it has provoked me to get into it myself. What must I do to be saved? And that's not one time, I'm telling you, it's a many great times I have led people to the Lord because it was being worked out by the grace of God that gave me the calmness to go through with it. By the grace of God that gave me this thing to go through. Oh, thank you, Lord, for the Trinity. Thank you, Lord, for the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Whew. Lastly, now then, Paul says, Jesus is ours. Whew. Not mine. Not yours, but plural, ours. Our Father. What's the perfect prayer? Our Father. What does it say in this song here? Ours. I love the Father. I love the Holy Ghost. Is that how it goes? I love the Son. I love the Holy Spirit. I love the three in one. Oh God, we are His, and He is ours, and that's the way the Scripture goes. He's all mine, and I'm all His. Isn't that the way the story goes? Oh God, when you know that Jesus is all yours, and He says, I am all yours, and you're all His, what in the world can bother you? Nothing. You have a peace that's so divine and a walk that's so rich and so free and so full when you keep your mind stayed on Christ that nothing can defeat you. How many heard this message tonight? Just be consistent in what you're doing. Now, you brand new Christians, one thing you have to learn, don't look at the people that are sitting down and complaining. Be consistent in what you do. It will bring you comfort. That's on a job. You hide on your job and you go to the bathroom and you lay your head against a roll of toilet paper and go to sleep and you get up and you got that big red mark on the side of your face and you go out. You know what I mean? You're not going to have comfort. Everybody else is working, you're going to feel guilty out there. You're not part of it. You can't hide in that bathroom forever. Run out of toilet paper. How many hearing this? You have no place to lay your head. So it's being consistent. And it's going ahead and allowing God to work every good word and every good work into you. And then He tells you what to do, and you get up and do it. That's the secret to comfort. You won't find it in a fancy velvet-seated car. You won't find it in a brand new house with brand new carpeting and brand new furniture and a brand new wife and a brand new kid, brand new mother-in-law. Huh? You won't find it. You only find it by being consistent in God. Getting up off it and going to work. Yep, that's the secret. You'll not have any comfort. You'll just be fidgeting around, running all over, trying to get some kind of wisdom. You can't have until you work out what God's worked in you. That's the simplest message as I can give. And I had to say all that to say this. Be consistent in every good work. And every good word, God will work in you and He'll work it out. Whew. Are you two know Jesus as your personal Savior? So if you're
utility.